Christ's Mission of Love, Ellen G. White. A discourse given on the campground at Ashfield, New South Wales, October 21, 1894. Concluded. Christ has gone to prepare mansions for you. Make him your dependence, your trust. Brethren and sisters, fathers and mothers, are you purifying your souls in your sphere as God is pure in his sphere? We lift the standard and point you to it. You may say, I see the battlements of heaven, but how am I to reach it? I see the glory that floods the threshold, but how am I to enter within? What shall I do that I may win eternal life? Read the answer in the history of Jacob. Because of his sin, Jacob was a wanderer from his father's house, a poor, discouraged, disconsolate man, as all sinners are when they see themselves in their true character. Jacob saw himself as he was. Oh, he said, I love God, but I have cut myself off from him. No hope now of my having the inheritance of the firstborn. At night, as he lies down on the cold earth with a rock for a pillow, an angel comes to the discouraged man and opens before him the provision whereby he can be reconciled to God, can enter the portals of bliss, and have everlasting life. He sees a ladder, the base of it standing firmly upon the earth, its topmost round reaching to the highest heaven, and God above it, flashing the light of his glory the whole length of the ladder, upon which angels of God are descending and ascending. This is a representation of Christ. He comes to our earth and meets men where they are. Through his own merits, he connects helpless man with the infinite God. Through the sacrifice of himself, he draws the fallen race unto him and imparts to the repentant sinner the divine nature, that we may honor our Creator upon the earth. He gives us power to climb every round of the ladder into the portals of glory. This was the import of the vision that Jacob saw. When he awoke, he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. What a happy man he was! And anyone who receives light from the throne of God can but be filled with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Christ is the ladder that is let down in our path today, and that reaches to the battlements of heaven, to the very threshold of glory. Now, the question is, will you climb the ladder? Jesus Christ is our pattern, the great standard of moral character. Will you follow his example, or will you choose to follow the example and practice and customs of the world? Fathers and mothers, will you let your children go into all the amusements of the world? The enemy will surround them with attractions that in the end will afford no satisfaction. They will bring only weariness, disappointment, and sorrow. Will you place their hands in the hands of the world? Will you teach them to dress after its fashions, to pattern after its customs? Or will you educate them to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent? Shall Christ have died in vain for your children? Is there not enough in nature to reveal God's love and draw our hearts to him? Look at the lofty trees. Look at the spires of grass that clothe our earth with its green velvet carpet. Look at the flowers which our God has provided because he is a lover of the beautiful. When I was in Colorado some years since, I visited an art gallery, and there were groups of people standing before the pictures as if entranced and praising the human artist. At evening, as I was walking through the town, I saw the glory of the sunset. The bright beams were shining upon the snow-capped mountains, and it seemed as if the portals of heaven were opened and its glory were streaming through. Persons were continually passing along the street, but none looked at the sight. My companion and myself were gazing upon it in rapture. I could discern in it heaven's beauty. I could see heaven's glory shining from the gates ajar, that we might conceive the beauty of what was within. But the crowds did not look upon the scene. That is the way God is treated. How many go out into the garden with their children, and as they point them to the beautiful flowers, say, "This is an expression of the love of God to you." This would lead their minds up through nature to nature's God. Would not this be far more profitable to your children than taking them to all the shows and amusements of a demoralizing nature that would absorb their attention so that they forget God?
A solemn responsibility rests upon you who have brought children into the world. You are to educate and train and discipline them. Show them how to make the world better and nobler. Teach them to seek that which will elevate and ennoble, instead of running into all the amusements and selfish expenditure of money. You may say, "It is my money." But no, it is not your money at all. It is God's money. It is lent you in trust that you may feed the hungry and clothe the naked, that you may elevate humanity, teaching them line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, patiently, perseveringly, kindly, with the love of Christ in your hearts. In the home, teach your children true courtesy. Teach them how to keep busy and be helpful. Teach them that they are not in this world as mere butterflies, but to form a character after the pattern of Christ, and that they may have that life which measures with the life of God, an immortal inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Christ has told you what to seek as that which is precious in the sight of heaven. He says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament or a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price." We want a life that shall endure after this life of sin and sorrow and affliction shall close. I point you to Jesus. I point you to His Word. If you will educate and train your children here for the future, immortal life, whom do you have to help you? Christ Himself. He has said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." This is our work. And then, fathers and mothers, you have the children entrusted to you of God to help you in missionary efforts. Every soul who has tasted of the love of God, every soul who has given his life to Christ, is to be refined in character and to be transformed into the image of Christ's purity. Fathers and mothers are the teachers of their children, and if they realize their responsibility, they will be learners in the school of Christ to be educated in the home life. Then they can take their children with them into the church to hear the living testimony born of the Spirit of God that is preparing them for the future immortal life. They are not to be swayed independent of God, but are to stand in moral power, uninfluenced by the iniquity that abounds in this degenerate age. It is high time that we begin to inquire, "Will my work bear the scrutiny of God? Shall I hear the words, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord,' who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is forever set down at the right hand of God." We want to be with Christ at the right hand of God. We want that which was Christ's joy, the joy of being a blessing to humanity. We must be uplifters, not destroyers.
we must not have a character that will destroy the property for which Christ has given his life. He wants us not to be counteractors of his work, but co-laborers with him. Ye are laborers together with God. This you will be when you walk in Christ's lines, when you separate your children from the poisonous and contaminating influence of this corrupt age, and bring them into the society of Christ, into the light of his example. God help the fathers and mothers. He is ready to do this. He is willing to do it. He wants to do it. Will you come to him? Christ has placed his cross between earth and heaven. Here, mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Here is salvation for the human race. It is here that you are to bring your sins. Sinners, roll them into the sepulchre. Come to Jesus in repentance and find mercy and forgiveness. You may let your name be traced in honor by the world, and it will soon be effaced. But if written in the book of life, it will be immortalized among the heavenly angels. It becomes us to consider what road we are traveling. Is it the road that leads heavenward, or the one that leads to perdition? The gift of God is eternal life, and we want you to have life and happiness and peace. A crown of immortal glory is presented to every one who will overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is the warfare. Christ will stand to help you at every step. Angels of God will be round about you. The heavenly instrumentalities are working with men. Christ has given his divine nature to man, and all may lay hold upon it by faith. Through the merits of Christ, every soul may win eternal life. Will you have it?
I see matchless charms in Jesus. I behold in him all that my soul desires. It is immortal glory, and we want you to have it. We want you to see the King in his beauty and to dwell forever in his presence. We ask you to give to Jesus your mental, your moral, your physical powers. Lay all at his feet. Use all in his service. Live to win souls to Christ. He has given his life for you. Will you not give your life to him and let him use it for his name's glory? Then you will have peace here and an eternal reward at his coming. When the dead shall come forth from the tomb, you can shout victory over death and the grave. The gates of heaven will be open before you, and the eternal reward will be yours. Is not this enough? Will you not determine that Christ shall not have died for you in vain?